Good morning. It's been a while. It's been years, actually. I haven't preached at 6 o'clock in the morning, so this is a good warm-up. thank you for the privilege of coming here and worshiping together. It's always awesome to get together in the morning and spend our time with the Lord. I got to say, I really had a great time with Mike Hewitt down in Lynchburg when we spent time down there. I have great respect for your president. I believe strongly that he's a man of God, a man who has a heart that follows God. And I've always said that he's a great preacher. And always said, when I was down there, I always tried to encourage him, give me evangelistic meetings. You're a great preacher. So it's awesome to see him lead here at the West Virginia Conference and Mountain View Conference. So it's a privilege for me to be here. I would like to invite you into the Word of God, and I want to just have a small little prayer before we walk in. I want to tag yesterday's presentation with this morning's presentation. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your blessing, for your presence in our midst. Thank you, Father, for being part of the journey, part of our journey, Father. And Father, we pray, Father, that we can become a place where you can abide and people may see and fall in love with you. In your name I pray, amen. Yesterday we spoke about Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. And we spoke about the Mikdash, the sanctuary. We spoke about Sakan, him dwelling. And we spoke about the dynamic presence of God, dynamic, transformational, invasive presence of God, and how that dynamic, transformational presence of God now abides in us. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we are his temple. He is the living God, and he abides in us. And how, through our presence, people can meet God, find God, and so on, etc. And so today I want to go to John chapter 1 verse 14, which is tagging on the same verse of Exodus 25:8. And there in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth." And this is a very powerful verse. The Word became flesh and bones. Matthew describes as Emmanuel, God with us. And so God comes and becomes flesh and bones to abide with us, to be with us. I love that. His dwelling place is among us. And the word for dwelling, again, is sakang. It comes from the Hebrew. It's tenting with us. And then after that, it says, we have seen his glory. The word glory comes directly from the sanctuary, the Shekinah glory. Same word. And so here we have the same type of scenario that we're having in Exodus chapter 25. And even from 25 all the way to chapter 40 of Exodus, we have the same scenario. We have God dwelling with us. He's tenting with us. Make me a sanctuary. And this time it's Jesus. And remember what Corinthians tells us, that God is reconciling the world through whom? Through Jesus. So God is tenting in Jesus and through Jesus to us. And so Jesus does the same thing through you and me. He is tenting in our life through the Holy Spirit so we can be with the world. You see? So when we think about church, we have to start. Church is not something static. Church is not something that fits in four walls. Church never belonged in four walls. You see, church is a moving, dynamic presence of God. And that moving, dynamic presence, invasive presence of God, moves through you and me. And so we are church. And a lot of the people outside in the world, in the secular world, a lot of the people, they meet God for the first time through you. They have no idea about God. And suddenly they meet God through you for the first time ever. I remember one time we were doing a house church. I decided to do a house church with the outcast youth of our church. They felt kind of pushed away, outcasted. They were between older, late 20s, early 30s. So I decided to do a house church with them. I said, invite anybody you want. So they invited their friends. They invited atheists, agnostics, and so on. And so we came to church. And so we came to church at a house. And right there, the host had a meal. And the meal was very healthy. We actually lost weight without even talking about the health message. And she was very just putting out healthy weight. And we just ate that. It was great. Tastes great. And I did a presentation of 5 minutes. And then we had a dialogue about that presentation. I would always do a theological presentation. 5 minutes. And then we had a dialogue. And I never forget this one guy who was an atheist. And he looked at us and he said, you know, Peter, you guys need this thing called church. And I said, tell me, what are you talking about? He says, well, there's this story about this guy who lives in a tribe. And the tribe looked far off, and far off there was this rock. And they called that rock God. And other people would call it, it's a rock. And other people would say, it's God. And other people would say, it's a rock. And so finally, this guy decided to go into a journey. And he goes through the journey and goes through days of walking until he gets to the rock. And when he gets to the rock, he sees it and he says, it's just a rock. There is no God here. So he comes back in a journey. When he gets to the tribe, they ask him, how did it go? What did you discover? Well, it's not God. It's just a rock. No, it's God, because who took care of you through the journey? And so the guy looked at the tribe and said, if you need it to be God, let it be God to you. And that's how I feel church is for you, Peter, and for your people. And I smiled. I was like, well, thank you for sharing your thought. And he kept on coming, but he kept on coming to the house church. And we chatted, we dialogued, I presented the word. And so I was finally leaving. I was moving to actually Potomac conference. And so I was finally leaving, and I decided to do a last presentation. And the presentation I did was the beauty of humanity in Scripture. You know, and so I presented that through Scripture and did a little theological presentation of 5 minutes like I usually did. He was right there. He had brought his girlfriend. Notice, this is an atheist guy who brought his girlfriend to what we were calling a house church. So he sits down with his girlfriend, and we had the conversation, we ate the food, and then I did the presentation. After I finished the presentation, he's like, wow, that's amazing, that's beautiful, Peter, that's beautiful, that's amazing. And this is the vocabulary atheist finds when he can't not say amen or hallelujah. And that's what happened. He was trying to say amen, hallelujah, but he can't find the words. He doesn't know those words. So he says, wow, that's amazing. It's beautiful. That was great. That was great. And he just kept on it and on it. And it was after a year of walking with us, finally the word pierces into his heart. And so it dawned on me. Because after that, he said, Peter, I wish you wouldn't go. This is such a great place, you know. And he started just talking that way. And it dawned on me finally that the first time he ever met God was me. You get what I'm trying to say? Okay. Through you, they meet him. The beauty of God. And he met a God who, when he insulted him, he said, let's keep on walking the journey. There's something you don't see yet. Let's keep on walking. Let's keep on going through it. And throughout a year of presentations, of spending time together, of having meals, the essence of the gospel is hospitality. The gospel is highly relational. It's not highly doctrinal. It's highly relational. And I love what Elizabeth Talbot says. She says, we have only one doctrine. His name is Jesus, and we have 28 ways of looking at him. You see, the gospel is highly relational. And so at the center, the centerpiece of the gospel is hospitality. And when we have the ability to walk with a person, to journey with a person, they finally can catch a glimpse of who is God and the beauty of God through your life, through your heart. And so we find that God becomes, He becomes flesh and bones, and He walks among us. He tents with us. And by walking with us, people started seeing a glimpse of the Father and seeing the beauty of community and the beauty of relationship and the beauty of holiness through the life of Jesus. And in walking 3 years, 2 years and a half, walking with his disciples, even his disciples didn't get it at the beginning. They didn't get it. It took them a while to finally understand and try to grasp, and even grasping that they kept on wrestling with it. This is the beauty of walking with God. And I love the book of John, because John writes his book through stories. And he had a lot of stories. He just picked these. And I believe that he picked these because he identified with them. John writes through stories. And he's trying to tell us a story that this God, who was up there, came, became flesh and bone, and now he tented with us and he's walking with us. This is the God who loves us. So church, when we think about church, church has to be more dynamic than four walls. It has to be more dynamic than liturgy. It has to be more dynamic than what we do on only one day. Because if we're inviting people to come to just one day at 1 hour of worship, we have missed the boat. Church is beyond the one day, 1 hour. And thank God for the Sabbath, don't get me wrong. But church is much more than that. It's a dynamic, breathing, living being, organism that is portraying and sharing the glory and the wonders and the beauty and the holiness of God. And when people grasp that, they fall in love. I remember I was looking for one of my church members. And I'm knocking on doors looking for the church member. You see, they give me a general address, but didn't give me the house specifically. So I'm just knocking on doors. And one day, I find myself in front of three drunks. And I look at the drunks, and I'm like, good morning, I'm looking for so-and-so. And the drunk that's sitting in the middle gets up and says, so-and-so is my wife. Who are you? I'm pastor. If you are a pastor, preach to us. I'm like, okay, it's three against one. So I was thinking, okay, what do I preach? And then the second drunk got up and said, and preach to us Psalms 23. I'm like, okay, I have the devotion. I have the theme. You know, I'm going to preach Psalms 23. So I'm getting reached to preach Psalms 23 through these three drunks. And suddenly the same drunk gets up and says, and say it by memory. And at that point, I said, thank God for Pathfinders, right? Yeah. And so I was able to share the Lord's thy shepherd, I shall not want, and I shared it by memory. And he starts crying. And he looks at me, he says, I was going to be a priest. And so I shared the word with them. And as I'm sharing the word with the three drunks, what's happening is, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way. It was early in the morning to be drunk. And right beside it is their rum. And they're taking shots at it. And so they're listening and all, and, you know, and all this. And I'm preaching to the drunks right there. And then I finish preaching to the drunks. And then I pray for them. And then I ask them, so is your wife home? No, she's not here. And I got so angry. I was so angry that he made me go through so much. I didn't share that anger. But I got angry, and I didn't know what to think. It's something I thought, well, let me make an invitation to you guys. I want you guys to come to my church. And they were like, yeah, we'll go to your church. Well, at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight, right there in that corner, the bus is going to stop. You're going to get on that bus, and you're going to come to church tonight. You're going to come to my church tonight. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go, Pastor. We're going to go to church tonight. They're drunk, 9 o'clock in the morning. There's no hope for the rest of the day. I don't know if I'm really going to see them, but for some reason I'm believing them that they're going to come to church. And so I'm waiting at church, waiting for my drunkies to come. Excited about drunks coming to church. And suddenly the bus shows up. And when the bus shows up, a lady walks out and she's like, "Oh, pastor, pastor, oh, pastor." I'm like, "What's going on?" And all of a sudden the three drunks walk out. "Pastor, we made it." And I'm excited about the drunks coming, and man, and suddenly I become aware why the lady had such a dramatic entrance, and it's because they stank. I mean, the stench was horrible. It was that type of stink that just gets into your nose with no permission whatsoever. It just gets in there. And it was horrible. And I say, "Follow me." And they kind of got into a line. I don't know where they learned that, but they got into a line, start walking the line. And they just followed me all the way up to the sanctuary. They stank the whole sanctuary. And that church was pretty big. And they stank the whole sanctuary. It was stinking like crazy. And there I was, excited about our drunks. So we started singing it was a Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And so we started singing hymns. And I remember the members of the church are singing hymns. And they were kind of, they were actually like kind of annoyed that it stank so bad. And they're singing the songs, and then we prayed, and then I preach, and I preach Psalms 23, of course. And after I preach Psalms 23, I leave to say it to the door. I go to the door to say goodbye to all the members, and the drunks come, and the drunks, and I call him drunk Psalms 23 guy. He looks at me and says, "Pastor, that was beautiful. That was amazing. I'm going to bring all my friends over here." And I think to myself, not only he's a drunk, he's a missionary drunk. The next Wednesday, miraculously, all the members found transportation. The bus was full of drunks. And they come out of the bus, and they are drunk. And they come into our church, and they sat all in one pew. There was this long pew in church. He sat right there. And every Wednesday, we had drunks at the church. Amen. I was so excited to be church. Because that's one thing we need to understand. Church is for sinners. Church is for those who are struggling with sin. Church are for those who have fallen or are falling or are struggling with. Church is for imperfect people. And by the way, if you didn't know this, church is for you and me as well, who are imperfect and struggling as well. And so there we are, having church, and it's every Wednesday, and the lead pastor comes up to me, says, he was Cuban, he's, "Casillas, I hear there's drunks coming to the church." I'm like, "Yes, sir." He's like, "You're missing out." He says, "Why don't we exchange churches? You go to the church, I'll go to your church." And that's what we did. And next morning, we got together for a meeting. He's like, "Oh, the drunks were there. It stank. The church stinks." It's like, "Yeah, amen." It's wonderful that a church is stinking. If the church is stinking, something is happening in it. And one day, one of our sisters of the church, one of our members, probably with good intentions but the wrong words, went to Psalms 23 drunk, went up to him and says, "Hey, you're coming to church now. You have to take a bath. You have to dress up. You have to stop drinking. You have to get baptized." And start reading him a list. "You have to do this and this. And so on, etc. You're coming to church now." And so he came up to me after the worship service. And he told me, "Pastor, I appreciate you. I appreciate you greatly. But I'm never coming back to this church again." And we lost our drunks. When we lose the purpose of being church, things like that happen. When we don't trust what God is doing in the life and the things that we don't see, we lose the purpose of being church. We are called to be church inside of darkness. We are called to be light inside of darkness. And our churches are places where sinners need to feel safe to come to struggle with a God that they don't know. And some of these people will walk into church not even sure if they're going to believe in God or not. And their first encounter is you and I. And if we are not church to them, who will be? We have to become flesh and bones. We also need to contextualize. We also need to be present with them. Is that easy? No. Is it comfortable? No. But God has called us to be church, the Mikdash, the invasive, transformational presence of God in the midst of darkness. And if our churches cannot become places where people feel safe to come, then what? In one of our churches, this gentleman, tall gentleman, came. He started coming to church, and I noticed something about him. He happened to be gay. And so when I met him, he told me, "Peter, I left the church 25 years ago. They pushed me away. So here I am. I'm needing church." And so we provided church for him. He used to hug me every time he saw me. And one day he met with me. He says, "You know, Pastor, every time I hug you, I notice that you kind of go sideways." And it's true, because that's what we learn. It's part of one of our classes, how to hug kind of thing. And so you learn you hug sideways. It's safer. He says, "I noticed that you learn how to, I noticed that you're hugging sideways. I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you. Pastor, I struggle greatly, you know. I don't know if God really loves me. I don't know if God wants to embrace me and accept me. I get drunk every day thinking about that God does not love me." You need to understand, Pastor, you know, when a beautiful woman just passes right beside you, you see her and you look and you're like, "Wow, what a beautiful woman." The same thing happens to me when a man passes in front of me, Pastor. I struggle with this. And here I am sitting down listening to him. I have no idea how to understand that. I have no idea. All I can see is pain. A heart that is in great pain. And we love them. And our church became a church for him. And the next time I saw him, the next Saturday, I walked into the church. There he was. He went to hug me, and I ran towards him, and I jumped into his arm. I gave him a big frontal hug, and I even lifted up my leg. Gave him a big hug. I just wanted to let him know, "Hey, I know you're struggling. I know you know what the Word says. This is church for you. Struggle all you need. Here is a safe place." And it was not easy for him. And I wish I had a good ending to the story. It was not easy for him. But we need to create safe places for people. Because that's what churches are going to be. We who believe in the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what's going to happen at your church when the Spirit starts pouring into communities, into people? Can you imagine your church one day And all of a sudden the doors open and like 70 women of the night walk into your church. What are you going to do with them? What are we going to do when God opens? Because when God decides to open the doors of the church and He starts bringing people from the community of different walks of life and they start coming in, what are we going to do with them? We need to answer that question, because if we feel that church should be always in a safe place, we are wrong with the definition of church. Because if you look in the book of Acts, you're going to see that church was always a dangerous place. Church was always in the dangerous places. Have you noticed that? We're not afraid. We don't run where people run from. Where people offer rejection, we offer compassion. Where people push away, we embrace. Did you notice that? That's what church is all about. And so God calls us to be that safe place for people who are thirsting for Him but don't know nothing about Him. Who are seeking for meaning but don't know where to find it. We become that place where they can struggle, where we can introduce them to God, where we can walk the journey with them until they find Him. I'll end with this. There was this veteran guy. He was the husband of one of my church members, and I went to visit him. He would kind of push me away and so on. And I always had the opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. You know Jesus loves you, right? Talked about his experiences in war and so on, etc. And I would listen to all his stories. Great guy. Amazing guy. He just pushed us away. Once in a while, he would show up to church, very quiet, and leave as soon as possible. One day, it was a Saturday morning. Show up at the door. Just show up at the church, walked in, saw me, came up to me and says, "I want to get baptized today." And I looked at, we were not ready at all. I looked at the head elder, "Get the baptistry ready. Immediately. But what's going on? Get it ready. We're having a baptism today." I didn't think it twice. He was going into the water. You see, not everybody goes through the same process coming to Jesus. You get that? It's different for everybody. We can't expect everybody to go through the same process. That's not how God works. Look at the Bible. Read the Bible. See how God reached different people. And when somebody comes to the doors of our church, God has put a great deal into that life. A lot of power has been poured in for that person just to reach the doors of our church. And when that happens, man, let's do everything we can to make that life meaningful, valued, and loved. Let's be church. I want to have a word of prayer. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I have no idea. But wherever you are in your walk with God, I would like to pray for you. If you're needing Jesus this morning, I want to pray for you. If you're desperately needing for Jesus this morning, I want to pray for you. And so you can stand up, you can kneel down, you can come to the altar if you want to. I just want to pray for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being such a wonderful, merciful God. In the old, they described you as being long-suffering, of being a God who waited a long time. They described you as having a big nose and being slow to anger. Father, we thank you so much for your compassion. We thank you so much for your mercy. We recognize that every day that we wake up, Father, you have been graceful to us. You have been merciful to us, Lord. You've had compassion with us. And so, Father, as feeble and imperfect as we are, we pray that we can be your church. And we can be your church to a community who's thirsting for you, Father. And that we can be your church right there where we are, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, where our churches are, that we can be a blessing to them, Father. That our first priority, Lord, is to love them like you have loved us. And that we can trust what you do in the lives of people. That we can understand that transformation doesn't just happen in an instant. It takes time. And that we can become that church, that safe place for people to struggle with you until they find themselves in your arms. So, Father, this morning I pray for the people who are here present. Is there someone needing you, Father? If there's someone needing your forgiveness, your touch, your presence, your love, is there someone struggling? Is there someone excited about who you are in their life here, Lord? I want to pray for them. I want to lift them up to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Tell all your family.